All right. You know how, I know you all know this, but how God totally works in themes for a while, you know, until we get something. And lately, the theme has been a lot about His glory. We, on Wednesday night, the class the last several weeks has been talking about God's glory. Last week, Suzanne preaching, that was very much about His glory, about... She did a phenomenal job and talked about how, you know, even to our cellular level, we are made up of light and how God just, you know, His glory just shines through us. So I was on Wednesday, I was leading worship at the House of Prayer for they have 2 hour sets. So Wednesday from noon to two, I was doing a devotional set, which is basically loving on Jesus time. And right in the middle of that set, all of a sudden the Lord starts talking to me about that passage where we will be transformed from glory to glory in His image. And I'm going, whoa, this is good. I'm sitting there playing. I'm supposed to be leading this devotional set. And you see, I'm telling you, there's absolutely something about being in His presence that just opens up the revelation. It just, sometimes when you're not even looking for it, like this, I wasn't thinking about it. I was playing something and worshiping, and all of a sudden He starts downloading this stuff on His glory to glory, and I'm going, oh, this is so good. And then I'm thinking, oh no, I have another hour in my set. And I know how my, you know, that later on it's going to be really hard to remember all this. So I pull away from the microphone, and I'm saying it out loud, some of the things that He's telling me. So I'm going, if I say it, I'll probably remember it more in an hour. So I'm doing that while I'm playing the piano and trying to do two things at once. And it was so good. Then after I got done, I wrote down as much as I could remember. So anyway, that's kind of where this came from tonight, what I'm going to share with you. And then that night, I go Wednesday night, and Lisa Ann just does this amazing teaching on the glory of God. And I think she said something like this, that really you can't get too much of a good thing. You know, that if God wants to shine a light on something for a while, He's certainly able to do that. So I just think there's a lot more to share still. So that's what we're going to do. Oh, from glory to glory. We're just going to jump right in. And... So there we are looking at Jesus. This is actually the King James Version. I love how the King James Version says this. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I could just sit down right now, and that'd be the whole sermon right there. All right. No, just to give you the context of this amazing verse, I want to read it in the Message Bible, leading all the way up to that verse. Is that a wedding or... What is that? Someone's beeping. Morse code. All right. This is the way it says it in the Message, starting with verse 7. The government of death. The Message writes things in very different ways. And kind of, actually, that's why it grabs our attention. It's like, what? And then you go back and read it in your Bible. You go, oh, I get what he's saying. What he's talking about is the old covenant of the law, as opposed to the new covenant of grace in Christ. So the government of death, the old covenant of law, its constitution chiseled on stone tablets, had a dazzling inaugural. Moses' face as he delivered the tablets was so bright that day, even though it would fade soon enough, that the people of Israel could no more look right at him than stare into the sun. How much more dazzling then is the government of living spirit. In other words, the new covenant of grace. If the government of condemnation was impressive, the old, how about this government of affirmation? Bright as that old government was, it would look downright dull alongside this new one. If that makeshift arrangement impressed us, how much more this brightly shining government installed for eternity? With that kind of hope to excite us, nothing holds us back. Unlike Moses, we have nothing to hide. Everything is out in the open with us. He wore a veil so that the children of Israel wouldn't notice that the glory was fading away. And they didn't notice. They didn't notice it then, and they don't notice it now. They don't notice that there's nothing left behind that veil. Even today, when the proclamations of that old bankrupt government are read out, they can't see through it. Only Christ can get rid of the veil so that they can see for themselves that there's nothing there of the old. Whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil and there they are face to face with God. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We are free of it. All of us. Nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness of His face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. So that very end part was right here. That with all of us, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I wanted you to get the context of that passage. So that word glory in Greek is doxa, and this actually is from Lonnie's teaching, which might have come from Susan Folkler. It just kind of bounces around, all these teachings, which ultimately have their root in a man named Holy Spirit. But here's a definition of glory: is the revelation of God, divine splendor and perfection, as perfectly shining forth in Christ. Okay, so the glory is this revelation of God, this perfection, and of course we see that in Christ, right? He is the perfect representation of the Father. So when you see Jesus, you see the glory of God. You see His presence. Glory is having a good opinion of one, resulting in praise, honor, and worship. So when we have the right opinion of God, all that's left is we fall on our faces and worship Him. That's His glory, His presence, when we actually see Him for who He really is. But here's the amazing thing. Remember, the scripture just said that we are being transformed from glory to glory, right? So when we have a good opinion of one, of oneself, it will result in praise, honor, and worship. Not that we're praising and honoring and worshiping ourselves. We are actually praising, honoring, and worshiping God for who He created us to be. That's part of growing in His glory. See, when we realize that, then we are actually filled with that, with that, just that awe of God. How could you do this? Just like we just sang. Just look at our lives. Now, you can't sing that unless you have this revelation. Otherwise, you're going, well, this seems a little prideful. No, that's not pride. That's That's actually giving God the glory. If you're hiding the fact of that you're made in His image and that you're amazing because of that, that's not bringing Him glory at all. So with glory comes increased authority. This is for us, the from glory to glory part. More and more authority. Compound inheritance. That means, remember, because this is one big story, a lot of times we think only of our own lives, but really the Bible talks about all of us together. We're one long story in history. We're telling one story of Jesus through us. And so everybody else's victory before ours in history becomes ours. And our victory becomes the next generation's. That's why it's so important that we keep going, that we do not lose heart, because the places we go with the Lord, the next generation gets as their inheritance. That's what's happening. You are made of pure light. Now we talked about glory, the splendor of God. And last week, Suzanne again talked about even to the level of the quark, the subatomic level that is in essence pure light. And Colossians 1:16 and 17, that's the part that says that everything is made by Jesus, for Jesus, through Jesus. Everything. Well, guess what? God is light. Jesus, the perfect representation of God, is light. If all things are made by Him, for Him, through Him, that would indicate that makes all the sense in the world that we are at our most inner core. We are light. We are the light of God. This is what it means to be made in His glory, in His image. So, you hear about the phrase peeling off the layers of an onion, you know, as God's working on us. Okay, let's run with that. Since you are a pure light inside, then as the layers get peeled away, which are things like false ideas about God and yourself, shame, doubt, disbelief, as those things are peeled away, see, then you are getting brighter and brighter. The real you inside, the glory of God in you, is being displayed clearer and clearer and clearer to other people. The only thing hiding it is falsehood. The only thing hiding it is things that are not true. Because it's already who you are inside. So as we come into more and more and more agreement with God, the lies start shedding away. And to others, we become brighter and brighter and brighter. This is what's going on. Oh, just to remind me, a visit to Kaiser. This is the wildest thing. So I was at Kaiser just for a routine checkup. I was, I don't know how, about a year or two ago. And I was talking to the doctor, and he, you know, again, when I go in places, there was a time in my life when I would think, well, if I'm going someplace, then I better, you know, try to lead them to the Lord if I have the opportunity. So I, you know, have that evangelistic mindset. Nothing terribly wrong with that, except that it's much easier than that. It's like all you have to be is yourself, and you will draw people to Jesus. And so I was, you know, I was just talking with his doctor. He was a really nice guy, and we were getting along, and I can't remember how it happened, but I knew that I found out somewhere along the way that he had kind of a religious background, but really no understanding of God's love, of God as a personal father for him. And I really don't remember how I had the opportunity, but I began to just share with him, and just like I would share with you, what the Father thinks of him. And did you know? Did you know what God thinks of you? That He is totally in love with you? He's pleased with you as His son? And and I'm watching him going, you know, he was taking it in. He wasn't, you know, you watch people, and if there's a wall, you don't keep going. But he was taking it in. But then he said the strangest thing. He goes, I don't know how many seconds later, a few seconds later, he says, you know, and by the way, when I was sharing this, I felt God's Spirit all over it. You know, sometimes it's just all through you, and you're going, oh, God likes this one. But he says to me a little while later, he goes, I don't really know what just happened, but while you were sharing that, there was light all around you. And I was thinking, cool. I didn't see the light, but he did. He literally saw light, and he was like, I don't know what that was. That was the strangest thing. So I got to tell him a little bit more about God. So anyway, this is what's going on. This is what glory is all about. So here's another version of it. Okay, another translation of the same verse. This is the New Jerusalem Bible. And all of us with our unveiled faces like mirrors reflecting the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the image that we reflect in brighter and brighter glory. This is the working of the Lord who is the Spirit. Now that's important that we remember this too. This is all God's work. This is His doing. This isn't about you trying to look brighter. You know, maybe if I just scrub my face one more time. You know, or the ways that we try to make ourselves look good for other people. That's not what this is. But let me keep going here. I also want to give Lisa Ann the credit for this one. I ran with this one a little bit more. Oh, good. In her teaching, she was just sharing how this whole thing about receiving God's glory has everything to do with gazing at Him. And how that's just like a camera and a photograph. Because, as I was doing a little snooping around, I just want to read this part. The chemical component in a traditional camera is film. Okay? Essentially, when you expose film to a real image, it makes a chemical record of the pattern of light. The longer the exposure, the more the light is let in. So we'll see if you're getting this. So the more we are exposed to the real image, and the longer we look, the more that light is just being brought in and brought in and brought in and brought in. This is what's going on. So let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. See, that's what we're doing every time we gather for worship. But of course, you don't have to wait for a Saturday night. Please don't wait for a Saturday night. This is just more. This is, I'll tell you what, the more we collectively, individually gaze at Him all the other times, I'm telling you what, that when we gather together, it will just be all that much more exponentially bigger, the light and the glory that is revealed here, released. We are children of God now, beloved. What we are to be is not apparent yet. But we do know that when He appears, we are to be like Him, for we are to see Him as He is. Now there's a really important principle here that's really evident. The reason we will see Him fully, we will finally see Him as He really is, the reason why we're going to be like Him fully is because we will finally see Him as He really is. We will finally gaze fully on Him. And therefore, we will be exactly like Him. Therefore, it's pretty obvious that the more in this life we gaze at Him, the more we see of Him, the more in this life we will be like Him. Until that moment in which we cross over that really transparent, almost no nothing, that seems like such a big thing to us, death, is really a transparent nothingness. You're just going right on to where you belong until you gaze on Him. And because you fully see Him, you are fully like Him. But you can have more of Him now. More and more and more. From glory to glory to glory. From height to height to height. Here's another translation. This is Barclay's translation. Because there is no veil on our faces, the face of us all reflect the glory of the Lord. We are thus being transformed into His very likeness, always moving on to greater and greater glory. And this is the work of the Lord who is the Spirit. The reason why I put this translation up, why I liked it, is that phrase, always moving on. I want you to pick up that piece of this. It's the Lord who's doing it. We are being transformed, and we're always moving on. to greater and greater glory. So I want to present to you a few things. Our view of reality versus God's view. And I want to tell you there's only one right answer. And as we agree with him, we come into the correct alignment. So here's something that, this is our view, okay? Two steps forward and one step back. Or on our bad days, one step forward and two steps back. Anyone? You know? Isn't this your view? You kind of gauge your life, gauge your days on how you think you're doing. And it seems like because you're never quite where you want to be and always things happening that you wish didn't happen, that's the feeling. It's like, oh, crud, will I ever get there? You know? That's our view. I'm going to propose to you God's view. A continual journey forward with slopes. God actually showed me this in a vision, I don't know how many years ago, 10 years ago now. It was one of those times where I felt like, you know, a couple steps up, one step back. And God says, no, 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 son. You aren't getting this. This is a one-way journey where I am taking you. And he showed me, actually the way I saw it was kind of in a tunnel, because it really was visual for me to see that there was no way out. You know what I'm saying? Like a tunnel, it's a good thing that there's no way out. You know, that God's taking you where he's taking you. But what he was saying, showing me is that this tunnel was going like this. It was going up, but the places where I thought it was going down, he says, son, you're still going forward. You're going exactly where I'm taking you. We're heading somewhere. We're going up here. So I just want to propose a totally different view to you of this, that we're continually moving on. Here's another one. Going around the mountain again. Man, how many times do I have to go around the same old mountain before I get it? Right? Now, that's just terribly discouraging. Can I present a different view to you? How about spiraling up the mountain, not in the same place you were? Look closer because the terrain is different. You know, in mountains, there's different terrains at different levels. So even though the view might look the same to you because you're around at the same space of the mountain, you're going, I've seen that view before. God says, yeah, but look around. You're a little bit higher this time. See, the things that we think are failures, the things that we think God wants to, you know, dispense of us, he's saying, no, 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 no. This is all training ground. And look where you are. I took you up higher. You're in a different place than last time. You learned some new things this time. And this is really his view. It reminds me, okay, this is an old illustration, and I can't remember the details, but I remember somebody in a corporation that just made a major blunder, and they messed up, and they lost like $1 million for the company. So the boss pulls him in, and he's going, okay, here's my job, it's gone. So he comes in, and the boss says, well, what'd you learn? Well, learned I made a big mistake. And it's like, you probably want to fire me now. And he goes, what? Fire you? We just spent $1 million to train you. See, what the things that seem like costly, you know, like costly mistakes to us, God says, yeah, man, I had to turn all that around for you. I'm not going to give up on you now. Why would I do that? I've invested way too much in you. This is totally the Lord's heart for you. Here's another one. Spinning plates. I feel like I'm just spinning those plates up. Here's another one going down. Here's another one. You ever feel like that? Did you see that? Yeah. Spinning plates, that's all I'm ever doing. It doesn't seem like anything's getting done. All right, I want to give to you a different view. How about fanning the flames of revival? Let me tell you what I mean by this, okay? I understand that not everything we do is productive. So there are times when the Holy Spirit says, you know what, this plate, let it drop. I understand that. I'm not saying we need to be doing everything we're doing, but I am saying this. That when you feel like sometimes you're like looking at your day and you're going, gosh, what did I really do of value, you know? And what God wants to say is, oh, how about that person you encouraged right there? How about that, you know, this email you returned there? How about whatever it is? He's like, these little things that you think are nothing. God's saying, man, that's fanning the flame of revival. You are fanning the flame of revival. Do you know, I've shared this many times before about Mother Teresa and how, you know, in Calcutta, and she's ministering to tens of thousands of people, and people said, how do you do that? And she said, well, one heart at a time. I love one heart at a time. But did you know that actually, I didn't really know this until recently. I assume it's true, but I was reading about how discouraged she got at times, that she got terribly discouraged at times. And all of us would go, what? Mother Teresa, do you know what kind of impact you had in life before you went to the Lord? I mean, even right now, she's smiling. She's going, yeah, I know now. And yet, isn't it fascinating? Even someone like Mother Teresa, in the midst of it, she's discouraged, like her life doesn't mean anything. Or it's not having the impact. Wow. See, that's what I'm talking about. It's like, well, she's probably figuring, well, all I'm doing is spinning plates. I just, you know, changed this person's bed. I just changed these wounds. It doesn't feel like I'm doing anything. God says, no, you're fanning the flames of revival by loving and loving and loving one person at a time. Here's another one. I'm never going to make it. Ever feel that way? Just never going to make it, God. How about this, God's view of reality, which is, you're already home. Live from my view. This is really the truth. We're home, in a sense. We're home already. You know, we're with, our spirits are with Christ already. I understand there's a lag time, you know, where our bodies and our souls are going to catch up. But I'm just saying, the more we can understand and live from God's perspective of the finished work of the cross, the finished work of the cross. Where are you? You're with Christ on the other side of the cross, on the finished side. That's where you are. And so, yeah, so then it's no longer about discouragement about what you feel like you're not doing. Now it's like, oh my gosh, I can't lose. I'm already on the winning side. I'm already there. I just got to keep walking. I do understand that. And that's why Paul even says, you know what? Sometimes the best thing you can do is stand. You know what? Sometimes a good day is when you stand. That's Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you. Yeah, above all, just stand. You know, and you know what that means? That means you're standing in agreement with God. You know what? I'm still here. You still love me. Maybe everything today didn't go the way I thought or the way I wanted to, but you know what? I'm standing. I'm still standing. I'm still here. You love me. Nothing's changed. That's another phrase I would say, that nothing's changed. I say that a lot to people. I say it to myself a lot. Because we start looking at circumstances of what's not going right. And that's one of the ways God's had me turn things around, is just to say, you know what? Nothing's changed. My daddy still loves me. I'm still his favorite. Jesus still did it all for me. Nothing has changed. It's amazing how quickly that can just whoop. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. But what about the hard times? Because hard times do come. So let's talk about it just for a minute. This is 2 Corinthians 4:1. Since God has so generously... Oh, this is the very next verse after the one we keep reading, 3:18. Very next verse. Since God has so generously let us in on what he is doing, we are not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times. This is why he's letting you in on all this. You know, he's just filling you with courage. You know that word encouragement comes from courage. He is filling you with courage by telling you the truth about who you are, so that when you run into hard times, you're not going to quit. And you won't, because the Spirit of Christ lives in you. Paul says this in Romans 8:18. In my estimation, all that we suffer in the present time is nothing in comparison with the glory which is destined to be disclosed for us. What he is saying is, it's not even worth thinking about. It's not worth wasting our time on the things that seem like they're not going right, the things that seem discouraging. He says, you know what? he starts lifting up his eyes and going, oh my gosh, God, none of this stuff matters. That's really where Paul was. You know, a guy that almost got killed many times for believing in Jesus. And he says, doesn't even matter. Man, when you look at Jesus, it doesn't matter. You know what? I forgot one thing. I'm just going to throw it in here. I meant to bring it up earlier, but it's so good. It's John Wesley's commentary on verse 3:18, which is, you know, from glory to glory. John Wesley, a great revivalist in the 1700s. He says, and accordingly, this is his description of that verse. Accordingly, all that we believe in him, beholding as in a glass, in the mirror of the gospel. I'm sorry. That made sense earlier. And accordingly, all we that believe in him, beholding as in a glass, in the mirror of the gospel, the glory of the Lord, his glorious love, are transformed into the same image, into the same love. From one degree of this glory to another, in a manner worthy of his almighty spirit. What a beautiful contrast is here. Moses saw the glory of the Lord, and it rendered his face so bright that he covered it with a veil, Israel not being able to bear the reflected light. We behold his glory in the glass of his word, and our faces shine too, yet we veil them not, but diffuse the luster which is continually increasing as we fix the eye of our mind more and more steadily on his glory displayed in the gospel. I just thought I would read you John Wesley's. So, all right, back to where we were. So, all right, this is what I want to say about hard times. Resistance builds muscles. There you are, Gina. Is that kind of like what you saw? Mr. All-American Hunk or something? Yeah. Don't you love it when people listen to the CD later and they go, what? Because they don't have the testimonies earlier. They're going, what? Resistance builds muscles. You all know that, right? I mean, that when we're lifting weights or whatever we're doing, even just walking with stuff, our muscles are actually tearing down some in order to rebuild stronger. That's what's going on. And therefore, the stronger the resistance, the weight, the more the tearing, and the more that muscle is going to be built back stronger. So here's what I have to say. You don't grow in faith until you need it. God, I want more faith. He says, okay. But I'm going to have to put you in position in situations where you're actually going to need faith. And then when you go through it, when you come through the other side, because you will, the greater whatever that was that you had to go through, the stronger your faith will be. Guaranteed. It's the way this is working. It's just that we don't like it when we're going through it because we didn't know that that's what we were asking for. Here's another one. God's tests are designed for you to pass with flying colors. Did you know that? If you don't know that, then you might think, well, God's, you know, cruel and mean and he just wants to put me through things to watch me squirm. No, he doesn't. He's continually building you up. And when he puts you, the Bible does talk about testing, not tempting. God does not do that. But there are certain times, and I want to tell you something. The test is not for God. It's for you. And it's not to trip you up. It's to show you ultimately how much you have grown. How else do you know? You know, that's what tests do in school. They show you what you've learned. Don't they? It's what he's doing. He's saying this is how you've grown. Okay, these areas we're still gonna work on these areas, but look where you've grown right here. Look at that. So I just wanted to remind you of this, is because I don't, you know, have all the answers for one of those things about, you know, why did God let this happen? You know, there's a lot of different ways you could answer that question. And the bottom line is we don't know. We don't know all the answers. But what I do know is God is astoundingly good. He is much, much better than you think. And so in any areas where you would think, why is God doing this? This just seems so mean and cruel. Then I would say that we don't have a correct view yet of who God is and what he's doing, which, understandably, a lot of times we will not have in this life. A lot of times we will not see in this life, or we won't see till later on down the road, oh, that's what you're doing. But he is astoundingly good. 2 Corinthians 4, 6 to 10. This is a little bit, just a description of what God's doing in us in these hard times, okay? This is, I want to read it in the message again. Second Corinthians 4. Okay. Remember, let's see, it all started when God said, let light up the darkness, let there be light. And our lives filled up with light as we saw and understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. Are you seeing the theme? Remember, this is the next chapter right after the glory to glory. If you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. As it is, there's not much chance of that. You know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. Our lives are at constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. While we're going through the worst, you are getting in on the best. So in other words, part of what displays his glory in us is actually when you do go through some of the tough times to see that thing of coming out the other side. That speaks to people. And they go, gosh, I gotta know who this God is. This is just something I looked at with these pots, that our lives are like these earthenware pots is actually what's used the word there. Earthenware is fire to temperatures up to 1,150 degrees Celsius, 2,100 degrees Fahrenheit. The exact temperature will be influenced by the raw materials used and the desired characteristics of the finished ware. Let me read that again, just in case you're not getting this yet. The exact temperature will be influenced by the raw materials used, that would be us, and the desired characteristics of the finished ware. That would be his view of who he's making you to be. Christ in you. So the temperature varies from person to person. That's why it doesn't always make sense, does it? Like, well, why is that person going through this and I'm not, or vice versa? You know, we don't have all those answers. What I do know is we have a God who knows what he's doing. And after firing, the body of the pot is porous and opaque. Porous means you leak, basically. That you know, you're like, God, I'm so broken. He goes, yeah, I know, that's okay, because you leak. I meant you to leak. Earthenware may sometimes be as thin as porcelain and easily chipped. Isn't that true? Aren't we fragile at many times? Earthenware is also less strong, less tough, and more porous than stoneware. But its easier working compensates for these deficiencies. So because God says, you know what? I like molding you. I like working with you. I don't care that you're not strong. I know you're not. I'll be strong for you. I'll do it for you. So I think we're coming to the end here soon. Let's see. I think I did forget something, but that's okay. So a deposit has been made in our account. God, how are we going to do this? How are we going to go from glory to glory? Let's read this verse. This came actually one chapter prior, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verse 20. For in Him, in Christ, is found the yes to all God's promises. And therefore it is through Him that we answer amen to give praise to God. It is God who gives us, with you, all of us, a sure place in Christ. And He has both anointed us and marked us with His seal, giving us as a pledge the Spirit in our hearts. This is how you can know that everything that we've been talking about is actually happening in your lives for those who are in Christ. I will say that. If you're feeling like your life, you know, is totally off track and you don't know this man Jesus, well, there you go. That's your deepest need as you finally say yes to this man who so loves you, the Savior. Then along with Him, God says, I'm depositing my Spirit right inside of you, my Spirit of light. It comes. You're born again. Born from above, as what the Scriptures say. You're born from above. Brand new life. Okay? And that brand new life includes the Holy Spirit who is given to you, guaranteeing what's to come. And what does that look like? What does that mean? That looks like hope. Okay? I did a whole sermon on this, but I'll just say in one sentence that hope is that joyful giddiness of knowing what's coming. It's a little kid the night before they're going to Disneyland and they can hardly sleep because they know the next morning where they're going. That's what hope is. And that's what He has deposited right inside of you. Because once you see it, it's real again. That whole thing of when you see it, you can have it. So if you're discouraged, it's because you've lost sight of the truth. You've lost sight of who God is and who you are. But when the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you says, come on, let's go over the truth again. Let's talk about it again. And as soon as He shows you, everything's changed. As soon as you see it again, you're like, oh, that's right, there it is. Thank you, Lord. It's all true. It's real. I knew it. And this is the cool thing. God doesn't just bring you back to where you were. He takes you to higher than you were before. Amen. Honestly, it's that whole muscle thing. It's all we just talked about. You aren't just going back to where you were ever, because you are moving from glory to glory to glory. Isn't that good news? This is true corporately as well as individually. As the church, we celebrate and we thank God for the past, but we never try to recreate it because God has something better in store for us. This is where the church keeps stumbling. And we, believe me, we don't have to look to past revivals. We can look to last week. Say, why isn't this week like last week? Because God changes. He's doing new things all the time. He wants to show you new revelations of Him all the time. So why would He reduplicate last week? That was for last week. And why would He reduplicate the last revival? That was for then. We get that inheritance and we're moving on. We are moving higher up and further in. That's what's going on. So it's not just individually are we going higher and higher, but corporately, as a church, we're going from glory to glory to glory. I think we've been, I was looking at Carla, because our amazing worship leader, Carla. Because I think, you know, every once in a while, I don't think in a long time we've done this, but every once in a while there is that temptation like, wow, remember what happened last week, or, you know, and I can't remember if we had to learn this by experience or what, but I know from experience in my life, whenever I've tried to reduplicate something, there's no life in it. And so all we do is we just continually walk with the Lord and say, God, I'm open to whatever you have for me. I think, there we go. This is the last slide. How do we do this? Soaking, meditating on Jesus through the Scriptures. What do I mean by that? I mean you can't gaze on Jesus if you really aren't looking at him, you know? It's just not possible. So in our busy lives, we really do have to take time to slow down. We have to. And again, the more he grows us up, the more we realize we want to. It's not a have to, we want to. Soaking is just a term meaning slowing down, laying down, reflecting on him. Sometimes I put on a CD. Sometimes not. Sometimes I've got a place in our front bedroom, and there's a chair that I like to sit in. And when I go there, it's almost not almost like it is that the Lord is looking forward to it more than I am. And I barely have to sit down before I just start feeling the, you know. And if I don't, if I'm still in this place, like all I have to start doing is going, oh yeah, I'm your boy. You love me. Nothing has changed. And, you know, I just begin to feel the Lord's presence. When you're looking at scriptures, engage with God through the scriptures. So if you're still in a mindset of, well, I really am supposed to read my three chapters today because it's in your daily devotional guide, stop. And again, nothing wrong with that. Holy Spirit can absolutely move anytime he wants to. So I'm not trying to put that down. I'm just suggesting that rather than looking at it as a project of which you're supposed to finish so you can check off a box, that instead you actually look for Jesus in the scriptures. So let me, I'm just going to do this really quick. Just look at one verse just to show you what I mean. That Colossians passage I brought up a minute ago, Colossians 1, verse 16, for in him were created all things. Jesus, I mean, just stop right there and let your mind start wandering for a while. In Jesus, in you were created all things. All things? I mean, ask him. Really? All things? Really? Okay. All things in heaven and on earth. I'm going to skip to verse 17 just because I want to get to a point here. He exists before all things. Jesus, in you, all things hold together. Oh, wait. All things hold. I'm held together. Yep. So you can start to see Suzanne's message last week about the light to the cellular level. See, Jesus is the glue. He's not just the glue. He's the everything. Holding everything together. But what does that mean for you? See, that's what I'm talking about, engaging him. It's one thing to know facts and to start to get amazed at, like, really? But then ask the question, Jesus, what does that mean for me? I don't take my next breath unless you say so. My heart doesn't beat its next beat unless you say so. Unless you were causing it to beat. I read this amazing story, a testimony a little while ago about somebody who actually prayed that they would know what life would be like apart from God, you know, apart from his presence. And God actually answered that for a few seconds. And that was all he could take. It was a suffocating, debilitating darkness that you couldn't even imagine. And then he was brought back a few seconds later. And realized that all this time in life when he had said, God, where are you? I don't feel you. That God is the life in this room. That if he wasn't here, if Christ wasn't here through all of this, it would be this suffocating, yucky darkness. We don't have words for it. See, he's so with us all the time that we don't know it. But he is the light. He is the life. He is our breath. That's just from a verse, you know? In him, all things hold together. I mean, so that's what I'm talking about. Engage with him. Ask questions. It's when you actually give yourself time and room to let your mind wander in him. You know, wonder and wander about things. But when you're actually with him, that's when you start getting these amazing things he'll start telling you. Like, whoa. And you say, well, how do you know if it's me or God? Well, you know what? The things that he tells you, you couldn't come up with if you tried. Because we're actually pretty discouraging, you know, to ourselves. And he starts telling you things about what he thinks about you and what he's doing in the earth. And you go, oh my goodness, this is amazing. So, okay, Lord, where do we go from here? From glory to glory to glory. Good answer. I love doing proclamations of agreement. Would you just agree with me that just to say, oh, you want to stand? Okay. If nothing else, it'll wake you up. But just, I just want you to agree with God. God, I believe you. That I am moving up. That you are taking me from glory to glory to glory. So, Lord, I choose to believe your point of view. I am not spinning plates. I am fanning the flames of revival. Oh! I am not going around the same mountain again. I am spiraling upward. Whoa. Oh. Whoa. Wow. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Jesus, we fix our eyes on you. We fix our eyes on you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, help us to do that. Help us to find Jesus in the scriptures. Lord, I just speak that wherever, for anyone in here where the scriptures have felt dry to you lately, I just declare just new life into the scriptures for you. Oh, Holy Spirit, come alongside as a tutor, whispering in our ears, yeah, but did you see that? Did you see this? Show us things we could not know apart from your revelation. Show us the goodness of God, the glory, the goodness of God. Tell us more about who we are, God, made in your image. So, Holy Spirit, help us to get it. Help us to get it. That's Paul's prayer, you know, Ephesians 3, that we would get it. That we would get it. That we would get how high and wide and deep and long and big and grand and huge is the love of God. That we would get it. So, Holy Spirit, help us get it. Can't get it apart from you. Wow. Did you feel that when we... you know what I felt? I felt discouragement like run from here. I really did. Like it had no place in this room. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Yeah. You know what? You guys are looking better all the time. Whoa. Whoa. Now let me just say one more thing. Will God ever point out areas to work on? You better believe it. That's part of this process. Just because you're beautiful to Him doesn't mean He isn't still going to show you a couple things. But our response, instead of shame and guilt and condemnation, instead of running from God because we don't feel like we fit in anymore, He says, no, 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 no. I just showed you so that you could ask Me to deal with it. See, that's the difference. And I know there are times, there's things, you know, that you've struggled with over time, again and again. You say, Lord, where, you know, God, I don't know what to do. He says, I know. Come back to Me again. Come in. We're going up higher. We're going up higher. Each time you're learning something new, you're not staying in the same place. But it does require that we engage with Him. Don't run from the One who loves you. Don't run from the One who has everything you need. Don't run from the One who totally forgives you. Run to Him because He's got all the answers you need. Wow. Whoa. So God, increase Your presence. We are ready for more. We want more. Open our eyes to see so that we can have more of Your glory, more of Your presence, more of Your goodness saturating us, God, saturating us. Ho, so that wherever we go, we make a difference, one heart at a time. Oh, and I believe, and God's even, wow, saying right now that that experience that I had with a doctor is nothing compared to what is coming. Nothing compared to what's coming. For all of you, this isn't just for me, this is for all of us. Oh, wow. Jesus, thank You, Lord. Whoa. 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 Thank You, Lord. Oh. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You. We love Your presence, Lord. Whoa. Wow. Whoa. Whoa. Let me keep going. Lord, we want more. I'm just going to explain something, but we're saying, Lord, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. More of Your glory, Lord. I just want to say that, oh, if you're not feeling anything, don't worry about it. Oh, that does not mean His glory isn't increasing and increasing. But I will say that the more you make Him the object of your desire, the more you will feel. And I'll tell you how I know this, because that's the way love relationships work. I understand it's not all about feeling. I understand it's about truth. But God weaves them all together. And lovers who didn't feel anything, that just wouldn't make any sense. Now, what you feel, though, might be different than what somebody else feels because God knows how to touch each person. So all I can say is if you're not feeling something, don't worry about it. But keep seeking Him. Keep gazing at Him. Oh, thank You, Lord. God, Your presence is the prize. Oh. Wow. Whoa. A little earlier we were praying, the worship team was praying, and, you know, it was good. We were what I mean by that is we were agreeing with God's heart, which is a good thing to do when you're praying. And then we started praying around Carla. She stepped in the middle. And then all of a sudden it was just this, all I can explain, it was like this sweet whirlpool. It was so sweet, so, ooh. It was yummy sweet. And, although this isn't that. This is, for me, it's a little more intense right now. But so this whirlpool was going, and I said, oh, yeah, that's what this is all about. It's just about his sweet presence, his presence. So, God, would you just keep coming like a flood, like a flood. Lord, I am praying for every single person in this room, every single one. Oh, that they will experience greater and greater dimensions of your heart for them. I'm asking God, even as they sleep tonight, there would just be waves of your glory pouring over, waves pouring over, God, more of your presence. Because God, you don't need us to be awake to do that. You increase night and day, whether we are awake or not. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Whoa. One of the words for glory is like weightiness. So that's what I'm feeling. You know, fascinating. I feel like this bottle right now, just like this. Oh! Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, God. Whoa. Do you know, one touch from God takes care of everything. Everything that you were worried about. Oh. Even your bodies, any healing that you need right now, Spirit of God is in you. Oh, this light at the cellular level is in you to heal your body from the inside out. So God, I declare restoration over our bodies. Perfect healing, God, from the inside out, over muscles and bones and organs. Tissues, cells. Oh, that fire of your light just healing us, every cell of our body. I make this declaration that cancer may not remain in any of the cells of our bodies in Jesus' name. Oh! Oh! Oh, that your fire would burn them up. Oh. 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 See, God is waiting for a generation to believe who we are. Jesus did not walk in sickness. And that's not putting anybody down because, oh. We are not yet seeing the Father the way Jesus did. But I'm saying that's where we're heading. That's where we're going with this. Oh. Whoa. Wow. Wow, wow. One more quick story. A couple weeks ago, right after I preached the last time, I actually was really discouraged for the first time in a long time. And hearing things like, oh, you're just sharing the same message again. It's the same one they always hear. Just things like that. And I told Suzanne the next day, which is good because I recognized it was there. And this is the cool thing. God had already pre-planned for me to be away that Monday and Tuesday. I had 2 days away with the Lord in a secluded house overlooking the Delta. And they had a grand piano in that house. And I was pounding on that thing, worshiping him. I mean, I'm sure I scared some animals around there because I was making so much noise. But this is what I want to tell you. I left that place feeling so good. So good. And so I want to tell you, if it's discouragement, lies, you have a choice to worship your way out of that. You have a choice to gaze at Jesus. And it isn't always easy, but it is a choice. I am not, especially when you recognize that, oh, I see what's happening. I know what's happening. Then you choose to worship. Just unleash worship. It does something. It'll do something to you. So, Father, I'm asking, again, Holy Spirit, whenever we face discouragement, would you show us right away what's going on? Because we need to see it. If you don't show us, we won't see it. But as it's happening, as you show us, God, then would you just be that driving force behind us, God, to take us upward, to take us into that place of worship. And God, I know it is our choice still. All you can do is you can just put it right up there and say, don't you want to do this? Wouldn't you rather do this than be discouraged? So God, bring us to that place where the decision is made easy for us. Where we get to step into that grace, step into that worship, into that freedom. Wow. You know what I feel like? I feel like tonight, this is just right now, I feel like a bunch of you, what God did is he just put a belt around us, with a tool belt, with all kinds of tools. There were a bunch of things tonight, not, you know, in the testimonies, in the worship, things that I shared. You just got a whole bunch of tools that you get to go use. So pull them out and use them. Use them, use them, use them. Wow. Okay. So, I just, do you have something? Yeah? Come here. All right. Yeah, we're going to put this mic on, Jim.